This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We thank and praise Allah, the Most High, the Most Merciful, the One True God. We thank Allah for His blessings. We ask Allah for forgiveness from our mistakes and shortcomings, and we ask Allah for guidance, and we ask Allah to keep us steadfast upon His guidance. We bear witness that no one is worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His last and final prophet and messenger. May Allah shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations, along with his family and his companions, and all of those who follow his sunnah, his tradition, until the end of time. O Allah, make us amongst those who listen and recite the Qur'an and act upon it. And O Allah, make us of those who are in love with the messenger and his tradition and adhere to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an commanded the believers, after commanding all mankind, Allah then reminded specifically those who have believed to have taqwa of Allah, to have consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah, to remember His commandments and follow them, and to remember His prohibitions and to stay away from them. That is the recipe for piety. That is what taqwa is. عِبَادِهِ إِرْسَالُ الرُّسُلِ لِهِدَايَةِ الْبَشَرِيَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, the ever merciful, the especially merciful. His mercy is so vast, and there are so many different manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Of Allah's greatest expressions of mercy upon mankind is that He sent to human beings messengers from amongst them, gave them revelation, gave them His words, so that they would teach the people and guide them to that which is true and correct, and to that which will grant them salvation in this life and in the hereafter. Throughout human history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers to different people in different places who spoke different languages. And the common denominator of people to leave behind the ills, the bad habits, the poor character traits, the criminal activities that were rampant in that time and place. And at the seal of all of these great prophets and messengers, our prophets and messengers, that we believe in and that we love and that we follow, at the seal of them came the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of all of Allah's creation, the paragon of Allah's creation, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah sent the messenger of Allah at a time when there had not been any other prophets or messengers since Isa. عَلَى فَتْرَةٍ مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ At a period of time when there were no other prophets or messengers. Their teachings still remained, but few were those who adhered to the teachings of the messengers before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most people had fell into lives of darkness, into lives of polytheism and disbelief, into lives of terrible patterns of behavior that were displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so after the Messenger of Allah lived amongst his people, for 40 years, a life, an upright life, of as Rasulullah was sitting alone in the darkness of the cave of Hira, came the angel Jibreel. The messenger could not see him, but he felt as Rasulullah was sitting alone in the darkness of the cave of Hira, came the angel Jibreel. The messenger could not see him, but he felt his presence. And he felt this squeeze of Jibreel around his body and chest. And Jibreel commanded him to read, to recite. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he was unlettered, that he could not read. Thereafter, Jibreel recited the first 5 verses from the Qur'an. اقرأ اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Jibreel recited these powerful first verses from the Qur'an, the words of Allah. And the Messenger of Allah was moved, but he was also terrified and scared. He fled that cave when that experience came to an end, shaking in fear. And he ran to his wife Khadija. And when he approached her, he was shaking and shivering from the shock of the experience. Khadija warmed and comforted her husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she took him to see her relative, Waraqah. Waraqah ibn Nawfal, who was a learned man, and who was a man who was attempting to follow what remained of the teachings of Isa. He was a man who believed in Allah alone, and he was trying his best to follow what remained of truth and of revelation. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed Waraqah of what happened, Waraqah said, in his wisdom and in his knowledge, he said, هذا الناموس فيها جذعا. He was wishing and hoping that he was young, in his youth and in his strength and good health and young age. He said, ليتني حيا إذ يخرجك قومك. I wish I would be alive when your people kick you out. To which the messenger responded, أو مخرجيهم. How can it be that they would kick me out? They love me. They respected the Messenger of Allah. They praised him. They trusted him. How can it be that they would be the ones to kick the very person that they loved and trusted and respected out of his hometown and place of birth? Waraqah said, مَا جَاءَ أَحَدٌ قَطْ بِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا عُودِي. He said, no man came before you with the message that you are going to come with, except that they faced animosity. Except that the people's hearts turned towards him with hatred, with envy, with malice. And that is confirmed by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن نَبِيٍّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we didn't send from any messenger, except that they had عَدُوًّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, except that they had enemies from amongst the criminals of their society. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. And it is Allah alone who grants guidance and victory. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then received revelation sometime later. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرِ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. O one who is seeking warmth from the cloak and the blanket placed on him by Khadija, stand up and warn, remind your people and give them the warning that those who disobey Allah, that those who do not worship Allah alone, they will face His punishment and His anger. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Glorify and exalt your Lord, O Messenger. Purify and cleanse yourself and your clothing and your surroundings. Be pure internally and externally. Proclaim the greatness of Allah and call your people to the truth. That was the command where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to then leave the confines and comfort of his home and family and begin teaching people about al-Islam, about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, the right that Allah has over His creation to be worshipped and to be obeyed. The Prophet began with his people, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Allah commanded him, begin with your relatives and those close to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began calling his relatives. His wife accepted Islam, Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. His cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib was the first of the children. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was the first of the men. Those close to him in kinship and in friendship were some of the first to accept Islam and support him. But they were still few. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam attempted to address the greater community around him, many of them responded with animosity. They harmed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he and his companions spent the next 13 years in peril, in danger, being prosecuted, being boycotted, being harmed physically, economically, emotionally. They wanted to humiliate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they forced his son-in-laws to divorce his daughters so that they would be left alone. They wanted to humiliate him physically. So they waited until he prostrated out of humility to his creator, and they dumped feces and animal guts and remains over his head. They wanted to cause him weakness. So they tortured and killed some of his companions. They tortured some of those that were in indentured servitude. They raised the prices so high of people's ransom and freedom to drain the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of their wealth and resources. And yet they remained patient. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in a state of yaqeen, in a state of certainty with the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until the time came where they decided that they were going to finish the matter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Isra, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah says that your people attempted to either imprison you, or worse, try to kill you, or expel you in some terrible way. And they plotted with evil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned with infinite wisdom. And Allah's plan always comes to fruition. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received through the angel Jibreel permission from Allah and the command from Allah to do hijrah, to leave that place of Mecca and to migrate. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed by Jibreel not to sleep in his bed that night, but to place someone else in his bed and to leave by the cover of darkness. And although there were evil people intending to harm and kill him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'ma absarahum. Allah caused them to be blind and unaware of the movement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah chose for his companion for that journey Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And Abu Bakr was overjoyed, he was brought to tears that he would have the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this important journey. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with Abu Bakr, fled the city of Mecca. And by the next day, news had spread around Mecca that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had escaped, that Allah had foiled the plot of the disbelievers who wanted to harm and kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they began searching with vigor and animosity to try and find where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. Because of his wisdom and intelligence and strategy and planning, Rasulullah and Abu Bakr traveled first south, and they took shelter for 3 days in a cave known as Ghar Thawr, different from the one he received revelation. And they stayed therein to wait until the matter calmed down. And Abu Bakr's son Abdullah would stay with them by night, and then before morning he would go back to Mecca so that he would not be suspected. He would bring news of what the people in Mecca were doing, what they were saying to rally forces against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he would come the following night and bring them resources and news and give them support. And the people of Mecca began searching through the valleys and caves and crevasses and alleyways of Mecca until they actually came to the very cave where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were hiding. Abu Bakr felt fear and anxiety, which is only natural and expected. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained calm and confident. He told Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnain, Allahu thalithuhuma. O Abu Bakr, What do you think of two? Allah is the third with them. Allah is protecting and watching over us, Abu Bakr. لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته على رسوله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought composure and comfort to the heart of the messenger and saved him from the disbelievers. Even though all they had to do is look a few feet away from where they stood and they would have seen the Prophet and Abu Bakr. But when there is the protection of Allah, when there is the veil and protection of Allah, no one can pierce through that veil and through that protection. Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then began their journey after 3 days when the search parties had subsided. And they had with them the help of Abdullah ibn Urayqit, who was not Muslim at the time, but he was loyal and he was faithful to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he came with his animals and he guided the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr to a path so that they may reach the city of Medina. After some time, when the emotions in Mecca had calmed down and people were less worried about the whereabouts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the elders of Quraysh wanted to reignite the fires in the hearts of people, the hatred for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they set a huge monetary ransom. They set a huge monetary amount and gift and reward for whoever is to bring Abu Bakr or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead or alive, a bounty. And the young warriors of Mecca began searching, eager for this monetary reward. Amongst them was a young man by the name of Suraqah ibn Malik. And Suraqah was intelligent and observant. He was a skilled horseman and a skilled tracker. Suraqah narrates himself the story. He says, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا جَالِسٌ فِي قَوْمِي. He says, I was sitting with my people, Bani Mujlid. And he says, a man came from our family who was traveling and said, I saw in the distance, going towards the western direction, going towards the seaside, I saw the darkness of some people traveling. Perhaps that is Muhammad and his companions. Suraqah said, فَعَرَفْتُ. I knew at that time that that was Muhammad and Abu Bakr. But he said to his people, no, that can't be them. Because he wanted to be the one to win the prize. And he slipped out of that gathering, and he got on his horse and tracked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. He says, I got so close to them until I could see them. And I saw that they were in fact Muhammad and Abu Bakr. But as he got closer, he is a skilled horseman. In those days, it was very rare for a skilled warrior and horseman to fall off his horse. Suraqah says, my horse tripped and threw me off his back. And he fell and got hurt. And he was shocked by this. He scolded and chastised his horse, rebuked it and hit it, and he got back on his horse again, attempting to run and gallop and chase after the Prophet and Abu Bakr. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not turn around. He says, I got so close, حَتَّى أَسْمَعُ قِرَاءَتَهُ. I could hear him reciting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was staying in the remembrance of Allah. When you are in the remembrance of Allah, you have the protection of Allah. When you have the protection of Allah, no one, no matter how skilled or fierce, can harm you. But he says, Abu Bakr yaltafitu. Abu Bakr is turning and looking side to side. He is worried, not about himself, but about the safety of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, until I got so close that I can hear the recitation of Muhammad, and then the feet of my horse sunk into the ground. This never happened to him before. He was terrified. He says, the feet of my horse sunk into the sand, into the ground, until it reached the knees and the calves, the halfway mark of the calves of the horse. And he fell off the horse. And he again attempted to rebuke his animal. And the feet of the horse came out. And from the place where the feet of the animal were, دُخَانٌ, a smoke came out from the ground. Then Suraqah realized that he was messing with the wrong person. And he knew that this is no ordinary person. He knew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be a messenger from Allah and has the protection of a deity far greater than any human being or anything in creation. So he cried out to them and said that they are safe. He will not harm them any longer. He changed his motive and his intention completely. And when he approached them, he informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what had just ensued with him and his animal. And he asked them for pardon. And he offered to give them wealth and resources and whatever help they need on their journey. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا حاجة لنا بذلك. Suraqa, we have no need for your money or your help right now. If you want to do something, أخفي عنا الخبر. Then go back and deter people away from our path. And so Suraqa turned back, heading back to Mecca. And any time he would come across another warrior seeking a monetary prize like he was doing earlier, he would tell them, I've already gone down this way, there is nothing for you here. Turn back and look elsewhere. Allahu Akbar. This was a person who came out that morning seeking to harm the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some amount of wealth to have in his hand and in his pocket. And he left that evening protecting the honor and the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. That is how the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih. Allah always fulfills His intentions and purpose. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. But most people know not. والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صلي وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. After thanking and praising Allah and beseeching Him to shower our messenger with compliments and salutations, Allah commands the believers to have taqwa of Allah, to have God consciousness and piety, and do not allow the angel of death to come and find you except in a state of Islam, except in a state of submission to the will and to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his experiences in Mecca, his journey of hijrah. We have just begun the new calendar which is based upon this journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although it was not exactly in this month. But the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began counting the calendar from the year when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca. And now we are in the month of Muharram, Shahrullah al-Muharram, of the year 1441 after the Hijrah. 1441 years after this journey that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is mentioned, his praises are sung, and his sunnah is reminded to be followed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into the city of Medina in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and the people were awaiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were gathering on the rooftops and on the tops of trees, expecting to see the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَرُّ, when it became too hot for them to stand and look, they would go back home and return the next day. They were yearning for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be amongst them. Are we yearning for the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be alive in our hearts, in our practices, in our homes? When the people of Medina welcomed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into their home and into their lives, Allah brought honor to them and to their descendants and to that city. Until today, we love the city of Medina because of the people of Medina and because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose it as his home. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the city of Medina, on that day, the city erupted with takbir, Allahu Akbar, the happiness and joy. The city was illuminated. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was no day in the history of Medina brighter and more joyous than the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the city. That is the impact of Rasulullah on the hearts and on the lives of sincere believers who wish to follow and adhere to his tradition and who wish to love him and be like him and be with him in the hereafter and in Jannah. May Allah gather us with our beloved messenger in the highest stations of Jannah. Remember, O believers, that your messenger loved this month that we are in, the month of Muharram. He said, this is the month of Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the best month to fast in after the month of Ramadan? He said, شهر الله المحرم. The month of Allah, this month of Muharram. Increase in your fasting, your voluntary fasting in this month, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of the best days of this month to fast is the 10th of this month, known as Ashura. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, احتسب على الله. He said, I hope and expect from Allah that He will forgive the sins of the past year for fasting this one day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Those who wish to be closest to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be encouraged to fast on the 9th and the 10th. And if they miss the 9th, then they should fast the 10th or the 11th. But if they only wish to fast the day of Arafah, then they have achieved that reward, inshaAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised. Forgiveness of the past year's poor choices and expiation of the sins and mistakes. Verily, in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is success in this life and in the hereafter. Definitely, in studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is life and inspiration to the hearts and to the minds of the believers. Read the seerah of your beloved messenger. Read his ahadith and his narrations. Learn from his life and his experiences. Adorn and beautify yourself with the character and with the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless us to drink from His hand, a drink after which we will never experience thirst again. Remember that Allah has given you a door, an opportunity for honor, and that is to send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and the angels throughout the heavens send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Join their ranks, O believers. صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة. Whoever sends one salutation upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah will send 10 prayers of mercy and forgiveness upon that person. That is the greatest reward that we can have for this act of dhikr and this act of worship. In the salawat of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there is forgiveness, there is mercy from Allah, and there is protection, and there is removal of hardship. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح.